You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
This morning, the message that I want to share is more for Christians. Amen. So if you're not a believer yet, the Word will still minister to you, will still touch and challenge you. But this is really a message that I want to preach to Christians that have a responsibility out in the world. Amen. You know, whether you like it or not, people are reading you. Turn to the person next to you and say, people are reading you. People are looking at you and they're saying, oh, you say you're a Christian. And then they start reading you. Francis of Assisi said, let's preach the gospel and if necessary, let's use words. Amen. So people look at your life and they're reading you. As a matter of fact, your children are reading you as a parent. They don't do what you tell them to do. They do what you do. Turn to the person next to you and say, that's true. They don't do what you tell them to do. They do what you do because they are reading you. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 3, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. The New King James says, clearly, you are an epistle of Christ. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, people are reading you. Can I tell you something? More than your posts on Instagram, more than the things that you write, the comments that you make, people are reading you. And we have a responsibility as Christians that when people look at us and they read us, they can read and see Jesus. And not who we are, but who Jesus is, because that's what it's all about. People around you are keeping their eyes on you. I ask myself, Peter didn't have a Bible. Paul didn't have a Bible. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. But if I never had my Bible, and when you go to the marketplace, you don't have your Bible. But is there enough word in me, or when people see me and look at me, is there enough Jesus in me that Christ can be formed on the inside of them? That's the reality. My behavior and what I do can cost somebody their salvation, or it can point them in the direction of heaven. Aina or Amen. Paul said in Galatians 4, my little children for whom I labor in birth until Christ is formed in you. That's our whole aim as Christians, is not to see how blessed I can be. And yes, God wants to bless you, but the aim for us is for Christ to be formed on the inside. That when people look at us, they see a reflection of Jesus. It's Christ's word that became flesh, and when it manifested, we could see its glory, full of grace and full of truth. When you go out as a Christian, do people experience the grace and truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is what it's all about. The Holy Spirit. That's why we have to welcome the Holy Spirit into our midst. If we're just singing words, it's just songs. But when it comes from our heart in humility and sincerity, we worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what He is seeking. Under the old covenant, it was the letter. It was the law written on tablets. So outwardly, you could do the right things. Let's tick the boxes. What should I do? Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. If thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, you can be closer to God. But that is the flesh. That is your own ability, your own strength. And that's not what people are looking for. You know, sometimes even in church, Christians will say, tell me what to do. Give me the three things that I should do that I can be holy. Give me the three things I should do for my prayers to be answered. Am I talking to the right people? People want that. When you're serving God just outwardly, it's religion. You know, there are many people that are pastors outwardly. It's not about being a pastor outwardly. It's being a pastor in heart. It's not being a Christian outwardly. It's being such in heart. That's what people want to see. People can go read a book and get the 3 points. But when they look at you, what do they see? So under the old covenant, it was just written down on tablets. Under the new covenant, in relationship with Jesus, it's written on our hearts. Written on our hearts. You know what? It's not that easy to preach a sermon, but it's easier to preach a sermon than what it is to live a sermon. It's easy to tell people, forgive. It's a completely different thing to forgive. When people look at you, do they see somebody that's become bitter, full of resentment and hatred? Or when they read you, they see this person has gone through some difficulties, but as Christ has forgiven him, he's always forgiving. When people despitefully use you, are you praying for them? When people curse you, do you bless them? Do you say, you really want a piece of me? Because people are reading you. So we have to allow the Word to become an integral part of us. Because when we allow the Word to become an integral part of us, by its very nature, it will change us. And we'll find ourselves acting, walking, and planning with God. We'll find ourselves becoming a letter to a dying world out there. Where there's darkness pressing against people, they'll look at you and they'll see light. And it will bring hope to them. Sometimes the only Bible that people are reading is you when you go to work. Turn to the person as you say, that's why you cannot afford to have an off day. They'll use it against you. But for us as Christians, we tell ourselves and we know, even though I fall 7 times, the Lord will lift me up every time. Amen. So, I want to bring 4 things to your attention this morning. Number one, you are a letter of Christ. When this word dominates your heart, I mean, when you spend time in the Word of God and it dominates your heart, that's what will flow out of your heart and that's what people will see. When this Word of God is in your heart, and this word that's in your heart, your confession that you are making, has got your heart's full agreement, it releases tremendous power. Because then when you believe with your heart that Jesus is a healer, you can go into the marketplace and say, be healed, and healing will come. But you have to believe it, not just believe it, you have to live it. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches, he who abides in me, and I in him bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. Family, listen to me. If you want to testify out in the world in your own ability, you're going to hurt people. You're going to get angry with people. The disciples that were next to Jesus, when he said, go to Samaria and get a place for us, we want to stay there. And they got there and they said, oh, we don't want anything to do with you. What was their response? Jesus, they don't know who we are. They don't know you, the God of Elijah. You want us to call fire down and just sort them out? And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you are walking in. You're walking in KS, what is it? KSD. SKD. If you were here yesterday, you would have heard Nana. Killing, stealing, and destroying. That's what the devil does. Kill, steal, and destroy. He says, you don't know what spirit you're of. You want to kill, steal, and destroy. I've come to bring life and life in abundance. But after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they could go to Samaria. And in love, they could preach to them. Because now they were relying on the Holy Spirit's ability to minister and not their own ability. Give the Lord a hand. Jesus said in verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Can I tell you something? It's not about quoting the Bible. It's about living the Bible. It's not about quoting this, it's living this. That's tough. If you want to live this, you cannot do it in your own strength, because if you do it in your own strength, it's the letter. But the Holy Spirit is our helper to help us to live this. Then you're relying on His ability and not your own ability. Then this will build people up and not be used as a weapon against people. You know, you can use the Bible against people as a weapon. Gentlemen, when you have a disagreement with your wife, it's very easy to use this as a weapon. What does the Bible say? Who submits to who? That's not Jesus-like. Jesus came to serve, amen? He says, submit one to another in the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? It means the fear of the Lord is to hate sin. So in other words, if I'm offended the whole time with Brother Hendrik here in the front, my wife should be able to say to me, listen, you better sort out that offense in your heart. Submit yourself to the word of God and forgive. I cannot say, oh, you don't know what he's done, or who do you think you are? Then I'm not living it. Fathers, in our homes, when we make a mistake and we're wrong, when we say sorry, our children are reading that. Then our children will also say sorry. But if we don't say sorry, then our children won't say sorry. Without the word in us, we can do nothing. That's what he says. He says, if I abide in you and you in me, now you can ask. Now you can do. Now you can bear fruit. And as a church, we have a responsibility in our community to let the light of Jesus shine. Amen. Christ is the word. And if you want people to see Jesus in you, you're going to have to get some of this in you. And not your own views and your own opinions, but you have to make this the standard for your life. Why do you need this? Because this reveals the intents and the thoughts of your heart. Hebrews 4:12. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, to cut in between bone and marrow, soul and spirit, to discern the intents and the thoughts of your heart. You know your heart can take you in the wrong direction. When people always say, I feel in my heart, and I'm thinking, feel what in your heart? Because if you, as a man, is offended with your wife, everything that you're going to feel is going to be unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment. Feel I must put her in her place. Feeling wrong. You're feeling from bitterness. You'll view everything through unforgiveness and resentment. But when this comes into my heart, it will say, it's wrong. Am I talking to the right people here? You know, we want to be Christians and come before God in worship. Were you aware of God's presence? Were you aware of God's holiness? When you're aware of God's presence, His presence are here, but He does not just want His presence to be here with us. He wants us to enter into His presence. Seated in heavenly places. Heaven is a holy place. You cannot just enter into heaven and be in heavenly places if your heart is full of unforgiveness. The Bible says, if you want to bring your gift of worship to God, your gift of honoring Him, glorifying Him, and you come to the altar and you realize your brother has got something against you, that same blood that cleanses you from your unforgiveness and your sin is the same blood that cleanses him. And he says, before you want to enter in, go make right. Hey, no, don't like that. Because some people have made you angry over and over and over again. But if we want people to read us, what do they see? As a pastor, what do they see? See, that silence makes you feel so uncomfortable. Is that for me? If the Holy Spirit is touching your heart, it's for you. There's no other way by this word manifesting in your life. And this is sharp. It will cut out the rubbish. Paul said, this is how I do it. This is how I allow this word to shine out to the world. He says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. He says, all these things on the cross, I've crucified it with Jesus and I no longer live. But the life I live in the flesh, turn to the person next to you and say, you still have flesh. He says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He says, I don't keep my focus on me, I keep it on Jesus. How? By the Holy Spirit working in me, with me, and through me. Now people can see Jesus. They see. If I get it right at home, I'll get it right at the church. My kids see me sometimes get angry. Not as often now as when I was younger. When you're young, you like. But if I was wrong, I would go and say, I'm sorry to my wife. And then I'll go and I'll say, I'm sorry to my kids. Because that's what they are reading. Can a dad forgive? Because now when my children have a disagreement, I can say to them, you two forgive each other. But if daddy is not forgiving or asking for forgiveness, why must they do it? Yes, give the Lord a hand. Family, listen to me. It's not about quoting scriptures. It's about, can I live the scriptures that I quote? Can I live them? The word must be living. The word must be active. In me, with me, through me. Sometimes this word will deal with you. You know, I shared this week with the staff. I said, you know, as a young man at a stage, you know, God says, I want to deal with things in your life. And you say yes, and you hear about the fire of God and all these things. And I remember when I said, Lord, let your fire fall upon me and burn through me and consume everything which is not of you. Have you ever prayed that prayer? What were you thinking? You know, I remember when I prayed that prayer. By the Friday, I was rebuking the devil. And the Lord said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm rebuking the devil. He says, it's not the devil, it's me. I'm removing things that I'm not pleased with. Second Corinthians 3:6, and who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. Family, listen to me. It's not going to a person with this word as a letter. Pa, 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 and Bible bashing them. It says not that we are sufficient or that our sufficiency comes from ourselves, but our sufficiency comes from God, who has made us ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. So if you want to live a life by laws, you're going to fail. A matter of fact, if I tell you, who of you would like to live a holy life? Be holy before God. If I told you, you have to do the following three things to be holy. You need to exercise self-control, have holy discipline. I'll be lying to you. Turn to the person that you say that's a lie. Because holiness is not dependent upon what I do, but what God has done. There's different. There's something different. We want the three things that I should do. And he says, it's not the three things that you do. It's the one thing that he's done on the cross. And if you can believe that, he doesn't say, try and get holy. He says, be holy. Be holy. How do I be holy? I believe in what he has done. And now I act in that same way. Go to media, do me a favor, just put 1 Peter 1:22 on the projector quickly. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Since you have purified your souls, how do we, James 1:21 says, we receive the word of God with meekness into our hearts, which is able to save our souls. So this word has got sanctification power, it's got healing power, it's got deliverance power. So before we can go tell people they need to get delivered, they need to get saved, we ourselves need to get saved. We need to first renew our own minds. So when people look at us, they can say, I want that. How do you do that? He says, I'm not doing it. It's God doing it in me, with me, and through me. Now I can love you with a pure love, from a pure heart. Then to the person next to you say, I need some of that. That's the work that God does. And you know what? People look at you and they want to see that. Why is this so important? Why is this receiving the Holy Spirit to work in me, with me, and through me so important? Because when I speak to people, if the Holy Spirit does not affect the words that I'm saying, there's no life and light in it. Then it's just letters. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. It's like children. It's easy to parent children with laws. If you do that, you need to parent them with grace to help them, to show them the more excellent way. Yes, I can make a mistake. But the Holy Spirit is here to help us, to lead us. How do we do that? Not by telling them what they do wrong the whole time. Because if you tell them what they do wrong the whole time, that's what's being established in their hearts. That I'm a failure. I can get nothing right. But when they can look at you and see, I can make a mistake, but there's hope. There's a way out. Then this message can bring hope to a world. If it can bring hope to your family, it can bring hope to the world. But the challenge is, the word must first dominate my own heart before I can teach my children, let the word dominate your heart. That's why as a parent, you cannot drop your child at Sunday school and then you go do shopping. Because when they get older, they're going to drop their kids, if you're lucky, and go do shopping. Say, hey, now. So what do we need? The word of God needs to dwell richly in us. That's what Colossians 3 verse 16 says. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So when people bump me, what comes out? The word. When there's pressure out in the world, nothing is working out, all doors are closing, I can say, no. God says he's going to make a way where there seems to be no way. And not say what you see, but say what you believe, because the word of God is dominating your heart. Sometimes that's how people identify with Christ, because they see Jesus in you. John 6 verse 63, what does it say? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. When we're in a situation, what are you saying? Are you saying what you believe about the word of God, or are you saying what you're seeing? Because anybody can say what they see, but say what you believe here in the word of God. Am I helping some of you here? Sometimes before people can read us, we need to go and read a little bit of this. Am I talking to the right people here? Peter had the word of God on the inside of him. He had lived with Jesus, but the word became the standard. So when he pitched up at the gate, beautiful, and the man is sitting there lame, he said, the guy wanted money. He said, please, I need some money. Give me silver and gold. He says, silver and gold I do not have, but I'll tell you what I've got. I've got Jesus Christ on the inside of me. What I have in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get up and walk. That's what people need. But if we don't have it on the inside, we cannot give Jesus if we don't have Jesus. So when people see us, they need to read Jesus and see the Word of God. Amen. And He demonstrated healing and brought hope to them. Amen. Can I go to the next point? You know, when you meditate in the Word of God, it will bring revelation. Turn to the person next to you, say, you need revelation. So meditation brings revelation. And the challenge that we have in the church today is people have got revelation beyond their obedience. People know the Word of God, but they're not doing it. They have revelation. But what you need is you need illumination. You need an enlightenment. So that which you believe, you will act upon it and move in that direction. What does the Bible say? The Bible says the Word of God is a light unto my, a lamp unto my feet. So when you get revelation, say now, let me use Brother Hendrik again. Say I'm offended with Brother Hendrik, and Hendrik always upsetting me, and I'm walking past him, and he's walking, and we don't greet each other. And now I'm spending time in the Word of God, and I get revelation. I'm meditating, and I get revelation that you're offended with Hendrik. Oh my God, that's why I'm not talking to him. The revelation is one thing, but now I need illumination. I need this word that's enlightening my feet in the path that I'm taking to actually take action and move in that direction. The problem in the church is people get revelation and a prompting, do something, and then they don't do it. So guess what happens next time? The prompting just becomes less and less and less and less. And later on, you sit with a whole bunch of people that you tell them you have to forgive, and they say, yes, I know. But they're not moving in the direction of what they're believing. That's not faith. That's unbelief. The Bible says, be careful. See that there's not an evil heart of unbelief in your heart, where we know what we should do, but we're not doing it. Turn to the person next to you and say, let's do it. Look at what the Bible says. Psalm 119 verse 18. Open my eyes to see the miracle wonders hidden in your word. It's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the glory of kings to search out matters. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him. So sometimes you say, Lord, what should I do? Give me the secret for my thing to change. Who of you know one little thing can change your whole situation? Let me see your hand. Many of those things are secrets that God reveals to those who fear Him. What does it mean to fear God? Not to be scared of Him, to hate sin. Turn to the person next to you and say, hate sin. Most of our problems is because we don't hate sin. We accommodate it. I mean, the whole world today, even in some Christian circles, it's not to allow Christ to deal with sin, but we're teaching Christians how to accommodate their sin. So if you want people to read you correctly, read the Bible correctly. Systematically, regularly, and receive it to change your heart. So, as a pastor, I say, God, I don't just want to preach to you to have revelation and say, wow, that was a great message. I got to be. No. That revelation should be turned into action. It should enlighten your heart to know what to do and empower you then by the Holy Spirit to actually go and do it. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm going to go out this week. And somebody is going to read me, and their life is going to be blessed. Amen. I'm going to close with this. When you allow the Word of God to become an integral part of your life, you'll find yourself acting with God, walking with God, and planning with God. When the Word of God is on the inside of you, all things become possible. And that's what people need. People need hope in the world. So when you, there's two things that the Bible says. In Mark 9, verse 23, just put it up there quickly. Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. So if you believe, all things are possible. And then he says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you can ask me whatever you want and I'm going to do it. So what happens? There's two things that happen when you make God's word the standard in your life. Number one, you will start to change. Turn to the person that you say you're going to change. I want to assure you, family, many times people don't want to change. Have you ever had somebody that you did not want to forgive? Just be honest, just raise your hand. Okay, double wink at me. Yes. But the fact that you don't want to forgive them means that God wants to deal with something in your heart. The fact that you want forgiveness from God, but you don't want to give forgiveness, means there's something wrong. Turn to the person that you say, if you want forgiveness, but you cannot forgive, there's something wrong in your heart. Maybe other pastors won't tell you that, but I'm telling you that. There's something wrong in your heart. Obadiah actually says your heart is busy deceiving you. This is why you need the Word of God to discern the intents and the thoughts. Number two, when all things become possible, you can get into a situation where there's darkness, where somebody does not see a way out. And you can say, let's pray. And you can command God's light into that situation, and light will expel the darkness. That's why we need it. It's then when you become the light of the world, when that light starts to dominate your heart, you can go out in a dying dark world and you can be the light. So I'm going to close with this. How do you do it practically? Turn to the person next to you and say, I want to know what to do. So here's what the Bible says, some practical points. Amen? Practical response. Number one, if you read Joshua 1 verse 8, it gives us the guidelines. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your ways prosperous, and then you will live. You'll have good success. Amen. So number one, meditate in the Word. Turn to the person that you say, meditate in the Word. Well, actually, sorry, before that, declare the Word of God. You first say the Word of God. Start to say it, start to declare it. Amen. When you say and declare it, there'll come a time in your life what you say, you'll believe. So say it. Turn to the person next to you and say, you have to say it. Say it until your mind and your heart agrees. Amen? Sometimes, you know, Abraham, my wife said yesterday as well, anybody can say thank you, Jesus, for the healing when they've received the healing. Anybody can say thank you, Jesus, for the breakthrough when they've received the breakthrough. But it takes a man and woman of God to start thanking God for the healing, for the breakthrough, when you've not seen anything. So that's what I'm talking about. Say it. Start to declare it. There is hope. This marriage is going to work out. This child will serve God. This person will be healed. This addiction will stop. Start to say and declare it. Not arrogantly, not with a letter that kills, but with a revelation that comes from your heart. Amen? Then you start to meditate upon it. Turn to the person that you say, meditate. What does that mean? It means to turn the Word of God over and over and over and over. If you're battling with fear, then you start to meditate upon, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Until you have revelation that God's love has been poured out in your heart, and that love expels all shades of fear. And you keep on meditating until it brings illumination on the inside and it produces action. Because faith acts now, faith believes now, faith receives now. Amen. Then the next thing, practice the Word of God. Observe to do. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to have to do something. Observe to do. So it is not just knowing it, but doing it. When you start doing it, then people can read and they can see. Amen. Act on the Word of God. Act on the Word of God. And the last thing, yield to the Word of God. Obedience to the Word demonstrates our faith in the Word. The Word that lives in us is measured by our obedience. The only proof of your faith is your obedience. You know, sometimes I think it would be easier if people had to look at me and they could just see the cover. But you know what? People don't read us like that. Go to Psalm 40 verse 8. Look at what it says. Passion Translation. I delight to fulfill your will, my God, for your living words are written upon the pages of my heart. When people see your heart, what do they see? Do they see the pages of God's word? Because that's what it's all about. Psalm 84. Now we can go to Psalm 84, verse 11. When people look at you, let people read and see the goodness of God in your life. Let them see that God wants to give you the good desires of your heart. Can I have one amen? Turn to the person that you say, God wants to give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 84, verse 11. It says, God wants to do good things in your life. When people see that, do they believe that? I want to close with this. When people look at us, Micah 6, verse 8 says, this is what God requires of us. He requires of us to live justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. When people look at us, can they see that you're a person that's just, that's fair? Can they see that you love mercy? Can they see a person that's walking humbly with their God? This is what God requires of us. People are reading us. When the Word of God manifested, and we could see its glory, it was full of grace and truth. As people read us, let them see that. Let them see people that are doing justly. Let them see people that love mercy. Let them see people that are walking humbly with their God. Let me hear you pray. Say, Precious Father, act in me that my thoughts will be holy. Act in me that my words will be holy. Act in me that my deeds will be holy. Make my words as pure and holy as yours. Say, Precious Father, grant unto me a humble heart, a sincere heart, a heart that is quick to forgive, a heart that will not bear offenses, a heart that is enlightened, a heart that obeys. In Jesus' mighty name. Siela.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.